Welcome to the Cognitive Rampage. Welcome to 2016. This is going to be a different year than last year was. I waited a while for New Year's to start this podcast, to come back in 2016. I sat out the first week or so just kind of prepping and reorganizing and thinking, you know, how I wanted to approach 2016 personally, you know, myself. And, you know, I reveal myself on this podcast. I'm transparent. I talk sometimes off the cuff, sometimes quick, sometimes emotionally. Imagine that. But a lot of times, you know, I'm open about myself, what I've been through, my stories, etc. And my book that is coming out in 2016, it'll probably be the end of January or 1st of February, maybe. The prepping process is, I have learned to be, is quite interesting. If you haven't written a book before and you are, the writing part, I promise you, sometimes is the fun part or the easy part, maybe. You know, it's the end part that I'm learning. But the book's coming out in January, and I want to take a different angle in 2016, you know, like I was talking about. So, you know, in 2015, I was transparent about what I was feeling, what I was going through, even professionally, down to what I was seeing in the world, politically. You know, I was all over the place at times. You know, I would notice I would get in a week of politics sometimes, and then I would get a weekend of talking about some social issue, and then it would be months of talking about addiction and chemical incarceration, as I call it, or that, you know, system that I always refer to as being trapped within synthetic drugs as your only continued treatment in life, as opposed to other more holistic avenues or ideas. But, you know, and I was, after my reflection of listening to some podcasts of 2015, and to be frank, I was angry. I was upset. I was, you know, look, I like to say anger's not real even. You know, anger is really hurt and fear. And so if I, you know, realize myself that I was angry in 2015 for a lot of those podcasts, it's because I had some hurt and some fear. And I had a lot of hurt toward what I know people are going through and what they're experiencing in their lives, down to the person who's struggling with addiction, where there's not a whole lot of help for those people out there. Even to those that are dealing with, like, you know, multiple sclerosis, like Christina Cusack that we had on, and those dealing with certain medical issues even, and those that have overcome some triumphs, like, Johnny Rotten and, Rosa, when we talked about becoming becoming a Rosie for the fifth, podcast, the fifth episode of, 2015. But a lot of it was about, I think I was pointing out a lot of bullshit, a lot of fucked up things, you know, and I was rather enthusiastic about pointing out a lot of wrongs that a lot of people may not notice or see. I was talking to a lot of people over the last 2 years that were heavily in addiction and being affected by it. So I was strongly biased against it. And, you know, and I just noticed. So now what, really? Okay, you know, we pointed out a lot of shit. We pointed out political corruption. You know, to be truthful, I spent 2015 talking a lot about symptoms. Talking a lot about the symptoms that are coming from really the deeper inlaid issue, you know. And, you know, it may have come across a lot as kind of bitching or activism, as some call it. And, you know, I think the idea of activism is to be active, honestly. And being active and prevalent and pointing out the things that are going on is a necessary thing that people need to continue to do, and point out these injustices. I think that's how people understand. I think that's how you gain competence. And truthfully, I spent 2015 getting really competent in some issues that I had been learning about, you know, a couple of years back. And I really mapped into those competence trails, if you will, and hunted down a lot of knowledge and from other people, really, and experience from other people. That's why I was seeking out people that I would bring on the podcast is, well, where my mind was at the time, you know, what I was thinking about when I did interviews with, let's say, Damiano, for example. Damiano R, as I like to refer to him, but it's like a spiritual brother. I was talking about psychedelics a lot, and there's amazing stuff on the horizon and medical and mental health in a holistic way using psychedelics. And so him coming on and sharing his story was amazing for me. And that led me to a guy named Tony Jack the Bear Mance, who's now has become a great friend, honestly. We talk a lot. He's been on the podcast 3 or 4 times. He will be a lot in 2016. He was been an amazing guy. he captivated me just in his street, his stretch and reach out through DMT, that his experience, a psychedelic experience that pushed him to just reach out and start helping so many kids. And that's been his mission since. And it was a joy talking to him. So, you know, the podcast of 2015 was, you know, a walk through my own interests as I expanded some competence I was trying to gain about some new avenues in life. And at the same time, I was pretty angry because I was coming out of a system of a couple years of working in this clinical, aka mental health help system, and I just saw a lot of bullshit. I saw a lot of bullshit ass systems managed by insurance. I saw most treatment programs of any kind, if they had their hands in it by insurance of any kind, were directly pushed to pharmacology for intervention. And the more I discovered, the more that was revealed through other people we had on the podcast. Like, let's see, Dr. Scott Perlman was wild to listen to, and all this truthful stuff he's revealing, you know, about the foods and cancer things. and now, mind you, a lot of 2015, I had been listening to podcasts like Joe Rogan and Tim Ferriss for a long time. And, you know, I was really digging into some of their knowledge. I was reading a few different books of 2015. And those were the journeys you were experiencing. The people that I was having on, Ryan Holiday's book, The Obstacle is the Way, I was reading in 2015, and a couple other ones. But it led me to those interviews, you know, and I interviewed a lot of friends of mine, people that, you know, maybe I even knew in passing once or twice, like Andrew. I fucking love Andrew, man. I miss you out here in the podcast. Wish you didn't live in Naples. Love just being around that guy. Being around Andrew Mariotti, brother, it's intense just reading your AMs in the AM, your insights in the AM by you. Keep those going, by the way. But we'll have you back on soon, Andrew. But, you know, having guys, and I only rented him like once. I hired him for a football camp that I did down in Marco Island. He came through, and we met each other, and Derek Touchette already, who they work for TAP Performance down in Naples. I love those guys. But Andrew came up, and just being around him, man, made me want to just help somebody more, right, and motivated, and he pushed me. And I love that guy. You'll see him again, too, in 2016, too. But, you know, him, and then even, you know, my friend recently, Chris Beckemeyer, who shared his story and his reflection and what he's been dealing with. But all of the people, Julian Williams, who's a good, much closer friend than he ever was, were an acquaintance as we were younger. But as we've gotten closer talking to each other, he's, you know, gearing up for his next fight. He's motivated back into fighting again. I can't wait to have Julian back on, you know, and talk about all the amazing things he's been doing. And all the way up to the last podcast of 2015, which was inspirational to me. It was, look, I'm going to just say it. It was spiritual. It was the essence of something. It was amazing. I met the guy, the very last podcast, if you've listened to it, you know, Mike the Messenger Williams. He's now a spiritual brother. We talk a lot. Probably too much. I don't know. I love chatting with him, but talking to him seemed to end the podcast, I don't know, with this clarifying kind of opening, settling. Well, all right, Adam, now that you've figured out all this and you figured out why it happened, you know, what's going on now, what, you know, what do you do? And that's kind of what that podcast ended with me like. And I talked more spiritual on that podcast than I ever have on any other podcast, technically, except the one that we did in secret. Steve and I recorded on a late night when I was under the influence, you could say. And we talked for hours about that. But that podcast was, you know, moving to me. And so I let that one just float out there to end 2015 and even go into 2016, because it was inspirational to me, that talk with Mike. And so that's what 2016 is going to be for the Cognitive Rampage podcast. You know, it's time to do something, I guess, is what I'm saying. It's to be inspiring and to be positive and to build an enthusiasm. You know, we're going to gain competence together in 2016. Those of you following, listen to the podcast, we're going to get probably daily on the podcast in some fashion. It's not going to be just once a week. It could end up being daily. We're aiming for that, but YouTube is going to be working in a whole new angle about just being more positive and more inspiring in everything that you're doing. We're going to be talking to more inspiring people as well, just like we did in 2015, because obviously half the people I'm talking about are going to come back They were wildly inspiring in their own ways, like Jeremy Pound, actually, who I was talking to today. You know, he's going to come back on. Hell, Jeremy went and started a podcast. You know, Andrew went and started his AM Insights, you know, on the AM. A bunch of people have gone out, you know, and just really charged forward. And they inspired me to do so. So 2016 is about doing that. It's going to be still about chasing interests, things that I'm kind of getting into and learning more about that I don't have a lot of competence in, you know, because trust me, I know a little bit about a little bit, and I get to learn a lot, a little bit at a time from a little bit of people. So we're all going to kind of get in, let's get competent together in all types of interests, right? So we're going to expand from the cognitive rampage into all types of categories, whether that's, you know, politics and self-empowerment to the economy and some things that are happening, you know, on social media and I guess just in everyday life, really, you know, we'll talk about those things, but, you know, I'm going to be doing short videos that we're going to call pick me ups that are going to be coming, from YouTube. They won't be on the podcast, but they'll be on YouTube, little pick-me-up 30-second, one-minute videos where I'm just going to be walking into the gym. I do about a workout and a half a day. The half is generally the stretch or the walk or something in the morning or whatever. But, you know, little pick-me-up videos, just a little inspiration to keep you going. Truthfully, I'm going to be talking to myself. It may appear like I'm talking to you when I'm talking to my phone in some awkward fashion, but I'm really talking to myself. And so this year in 2016, if you thought I was transparent and revealing last year about my thoughts and stream of consciousness, well, get fucking ready, because 2016 is going to be wide open that way. We're running in full throttle, full cognitive rampage, full transparency, and we're going to explore the things that I don't know, that I have no fucking clue about, and we're going to search out those smarter than me to learn about those things so maybe we can all get competent together. The other thing I'm going to do that I'm kind of looking forward to doing is when the book comes out, remember it's called The Cognitive Rampage, A Dose of Authentic Revelation, is, remember, it's an applied book, means it has a theoretical implication to it, has a theoretical foundation based in psychology, sociology, and a bunch of other different ologies, and we've mixed that together. And I've created a few things. I've created what I call a I to E inventory, and that's an interest to enthusiasm inventory that you'll keep. But you build that as you start to build your own and reveal your own life philosophy. Because a lot of people really, they don't know what the life philosophy is. You know, I ask somebody what a life philosophy is, and they give me a quote. And I'm like, well, that's a good quote. But what's your life philosophy, really? And does it umbrella life situations? So what we kind of did was lay out a framework here to build a life philosophy. See, this is not like a how-to book, right? I didn't put out this self-help book. Here's how to get happy. Here's how, this is not what this shit's about. I'm not a charlatan. I'm not screaming, follow these easy steps and your whole life is better. I'm trying to find a way where I think I found a way. I know I have for myself and a few others that use this for you to explore yourself, reveal yourself. That's why I said it's a dose of authentic revelation, because you're going to make choices and apply your choices to these frameworks that I've built, which truly, it becomes your own advice. It becomes your own direction, your own life philosophy, and your inventory. It's not my advice at all. I just kind of offer a framework for you to build on. So when the book does come out, what I'm going to do, I don't know, 1, 2, 3 times a week, is I'm going to have a podcast to where we cover chapter 2 or 3, and I'm going to apply all of the cognitive rampage to myself from scratch. I do it daily. It's kind of a way of life, really. The cognitive rampage is not just a philosophy, a podcast, or a book, but it's a way of life. It really is. It's a daily and passionate, enthusiastic search for competence in a way, and that leads to confidence, which builds an enthusiasm, right? And that in that enthusiasm is where we can find our happiness, where we can create our happiness per se, right? Not wait for it to come to us. So that self-exploration is what it's about. But, you know, there's no map on how to discover yourself really in life, right? And remember, self-competence also leads to self-confidence. So we need to find experiences. We need to create experiences, because experiences, concrete beliefs, and concrete beliefs create experiences. And by changing those two interactively through choices, we can create any change we want to create in our lives. And so this year is about that. This year is about being inspirational, positive, seeking competence in all types of categories of life, in nutrition and exercise and treatment and diagnosis and health and routine and sleep and supplements and fun things to do, deep things to do, philosophical things. We're going to chase competence like our life fucking depends on it. Because frankly, I think it does. And as we chase that down, we're going to do it together. You know, I have so much to learn in so many categories of life. And I enjoy that. And maybe we can do that together in 2016. And we're going to find ways to do it, because not only will I be on the podcast talking about the book once in a while, walking through the chapter steps as I apply it to my own life, and hopefully you do the same thing too, and we walk through it, I'll still have the guests as usual that we're bringing on. There is a big name guest that will remain unannounced until my manager slash co-producer of the Cognitive Rampage podcast, Daniel McNamara from Rising Lamb Productions in New York, will confirm that booking. Then I will be more than happy to announce the guests that will be coming on. But the guests we're going to be bringing on are those, just like we have been, those that live their lives in a cognitive rampage, that live their lives sharing their philosophies and their stories, that are out to help other people, and in seeking that experience have found a way to be happy and share that story with us. So those are the guests we're going to be finding as usual, you know, continuing that with that that same path. But what you're going to hear from me is I'm going to attempt to change in my own life, you know, because I'm not stupid. I know I always need to make changes and try to optimize my own life. See, because I believe that you can be happy in the now and in the moment while also striving for optimization. I think too many times people find complacency in self-acceptance, and that crosses over. It becomes a blurry line. It really does. Where's the line between happiness through self-acceptance and pure complacency due to being comfortable, right? And so there's a fine line, right? And so that's where that idea of self-esteem plays in the middle of trying to find that balance between there. But, you know, I'm going to try to optimize myself. And so this year, you know, I'm going to work on, look, we may have been able to point out the obvious last year, that Big Pharma is fucking killing people, that the system is corrupt, and based on this corrupt system, there are seeds creating symptoms of destruction in all areas and all races and all avenues of this life here in the United States and the world. We have affected the world as we affect ourselves, and we've pointed it out. We've pointed out the money in politics. We've pointed out that corruption in politics is legal in the United States. We've pointed out that this is an existing racist culture, apparently, as many are underinformed, and as Mike the Messenger would say, people are just underdeveloped. And I agree with that. And we've learned it. We've learned that Big Pharma's got you by the fucking balls if you're taking a pill, because 48% of the United States takes the pill every day. And so more than likely, a lot of those listeners, you take one every day. And look, I love the fact that medicine can do what it does for people. Don't get me fucking wrong. I'm not an idiot. And I may have sounded like it last year. And I said a lot of quick things, even on the Joe Rogan Experience. I spoke a lot out of emotion. And so this year, I'm going to try to slow down and say, yeah, we've pointed out a lot of the negative things about what's going on in healthcare, mental health care, politics, society, cultures, etc. We have. But this year on the Cognitive Rampage, we're going to move past that. We're going to be strong despite that. Rather than having our environment shape what we think and how we believe, in 2016, we're going to fight ourselves through our personal behavior and personal choices. And we'll fight back just through our behavior and our model of behavior and what we believe to be positive despite what we may have learned in 2015. Despite what we may have seen and pointed out, we can still fight. We can still fight the good fight, but I think one of the best fights is to model something on your own. And, you know, Andrew says that a lot, where he talks about, I think, some of the best ways that we can really teach people is modeling it. Because, look, as a therapist, one of the things that got me frustrated is, sure, I saw people that came to therapy and I talked to them, and a lot of people really didn't want help. They didn't want to change. They just did what they were thought supposed to. Many asked for a pill, and some would just move along. But, you know, there has to be an intrinsic motivation to change. There needs to be. And so in 2016, it's about cultivating and revealing that intrinsic motivation, that authentic self that, you know, lies within all of us. And some of us live that already today, despite that. you know, and nothing changes if nothing changes. And so we have to begin with what we believe and what we see. And so we're going to spend 2016 cultivating our beliefs, modifying those to find the silver lining in all the things that are appearing to be so bad today. Because if we can find the silver lining, perhaps that's how we can make two sides agree. If we can find what Republicans and Democrats agree on, maybe we start there instead of everything we disagree with. I mean, let's find the silver linings and the things that we're pointing out that seem to be so bad. And a lot of those things are. But it starts with self, right? It starts with who we are as a person and what we model as individuals and what we carry for our children or our communities or those around us, right? So we can model it. And so in 2016, we're going to start to try to talk about cultivating those new beliefs to make those changes, to modify new behavior. And let's learn together and get competent because, you know, I need to try to learn, I think, to stay more positive and find ways to frame even the most obvious shitty stuff that needs to change. And maybe you can help me find the silver lining in these things. And we can grow from at least the silver linings in anything to find some sort of growth. Because I think 2016, I think that's it. I think 2016 is about growth for the Cognitive Rampage. Not so much about the rampage itself. Not so much about activism to point out the injustices, but finding growth. Because that's what we got to move on, right? So we pointed out all the now what, right? All the look at this, look over here, look at that, yeah. So that's what 2016 is going to do, and I look forward to talking about those things, man. I mean, I covered a lot of the stuff. You're probably going to see me still talking a lot about Big Pharma on social media. I'm going to share a lot of those things, you know, because they do. It's a fucking stranglehold on people. It's really the only system that people know. You know, think about it. If you got to sell a new product to somebody, right? If I had to sell you a new system of going to the doctor, it would be hard for you to accept because what you've learned over the years of how you see the doctor, be that the counselor, psychiatrist, or the practitioner, or the your physician, is it's a system. And so you get the process. And so even if I brought a new system to you and said, here's a new way to do something, you would have to try to find a way to accept that as going, wait, but that's not mental health care, right? You know, so I'm still going to talk about that because there are new avenues. Trust me. I mean, there's solutions out there that are happening. I mean, Artesian Wellness in Florida from last year is an example of that. There are steps forward to finding new ways of treatment that aren't so synthetically, pharmacologically related. And so I keep pointing that out. So I'll continue to point out the obvious that Big Pharma has everybody by the fucking balls and that they can play advertisements on you know, television that helps, even though you can't do that in most other developed countries and whatever. Okay. So what's good? You know what? Let's try that for the first time. What's good that advertisement about pharmacology is doing? You know what I can say? If anything, at least it's, maybe the lawyers will use this shit. At least it's bringing awareness to the need of mental health, right? We could say that they're fucked up commercials because we get it. They label fucking 80 symptoms that everybody has. We get it. So even though everybody knows that these commercials are set out to trap you, 48% of the country takes pills, right? So at least what if the positive in that is, hey, at least now people are thinking about their mental health. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? I don't know. Maybe we find that out in 2016. Is it worse to be thinking about? I possibly write in my book that it could be. That when you start thinking about yourself having a mental health problem, that sometimes you manifest those behaviors. It's called self-fulfilling prophecies. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Maybe we'll figure that shit out. I don't know. But hey, that's an attempt there. See, that's called using what I call rational self-analysis, right? We take some RSA, we apply it to a negative idea like, well, pharmacy commercials, fuck them, right? We can't stand Big Pharma commercials. But if we stay angry about Big Pharma commercials the whole time and we don't do something about it, try to find a good in it, hey, they're bringing awareness to mental health. Well, now that Big Pharma's helped bring awareness to mental health, and let's bring awareness to all the different ways that you can get healthy without synthetic drugs, that you can do it by changing your environment. You can do it by changing what you simply believe and mixing it. Because, look, I honestly think change is forefront. I don't think it's just one way of change. You know, I don't. In the book, I don't write about it being one way. You know, I think it's multiple ways. I mean, obviously, it's biologically influenced. Epigenetics speaks to environmental influence on top of a biological change. Obviously, genes and genetics possibly play roles as well. Your external environment, which is your people, places, and things, what you've been through. Hell, we even learned last year that what your mother goes through while you're in the oven baking actually has a influence. And I don't mean just drug use. It can just be a trauma, right? If she goes through a stressful event or a traumatic event, that actually affects the child. And so we learned all this stuff, man, in the development. So the external environments do that. And as you go through your external environments, we get to the nature versus culture argument that develop your internal environment. So I think it's your internal environment, what you think, what you believe. It's your external environments, plus all the experiences that you've been through. It's a biological influence mixed with some genetics and obviously neurological effects, whether it's damage to the brain, how the brain functions, right? All these things are kind of grouping into the biological medical side, if you will. All that messes with you and your change. They are influencers to who you are, right? That's why I always talk about the people that go, that's just who I am. You know, stop saying that shit, because that's just a concrete statement that stops you from change and growth. You know, just saying that's who I am. If we learn and grow every day, we can't be that. You know, so the idea, I think, is moving into the belief that, well, we don't know anything. And if we can grab on the idea that, well, maybe there is no reality, that really the truth that I have determined to be in my head and have created in my reality is really just, well, what I perceive it to be. And if we can start at the beginning, like I said in the last video that I made in 2015 on YouTube, that change starts with what you believe, period. And now, from a biological standpoint, obviously, if you have a sickness or things that are going on, your mind can only work as far as your body is not holding it captive. And so if you're constantly dealing with medical issues or things that are associated with destruction or anchoring your body from development or growth, well, then your mind can't even flourish like it can, because the mind is anchored to the body. And so if you're constantly on thought about, you know, trying to get in better shape, trying to get better sleep, trying to overcome maybe a disease or something you're dealing with, your mind can't function. So the idea is to, you know, get the body under control so the mind can flourish to its full extent. So it starts with what you believe, right? So it's finding out what you believe. Before you can change what you believe, you got to know what you believe, right? I could ask you, hey, what do you believe about yourself, others, and the world? Whoa, hit you with that. You may spout something out, but you don't know. And so that's why I talk about RSA in the book. All of that is covered, really. And so, you know, let's get into the podcast, you know, about what we believe. You know, I talked a lot about what I know last year. In 2015, it was a lot about what I know. This is what I know. This is what I've learned. And so just because you know something doesn't mean you believe it, which is why a lot of times people that have knowledge about being happy, not being angry or being healthy, they may know how to do it or know they need to do it, but follow through is hard because, well, a belief is anchoring the knowledge from working for you. And so before you can allow that knowledge to work for you, you got to unanchor it from any negative concrete belief that may be a little bit more general, that's holding down a little bit more of a specific action in your thought, right? So for instance, I'll give you an example. If I may know I have to eat healthy, but I may not have the knowledge of how to eat healthy, right? And plus there's so much fucking information out there. It's all melted together. It's just noise, I think Jeremy Pound called it. And so all that noise out there, you don't even know what to believe, right? So you may know that you have to eat healthy, but if your belief is, I don't really have to eat healthy, it's not that big a deal. I mean, they wouldn't sell it if it wasn't that healthy, right? If this is what you believe, then eating healthy doesn't matter, or what you know doesn't matter. And so that's why you have to tap into what you really believe about eating healthy, right? So some people even know they have to eat healthy. Some people have the knowledge, even know how to eat healthy, but they don't, because again, those beliefs may be anchored by a belief that, I don't know, they don't have the time or they don't have the money. Well, if you believe you don't have the time, you don't have the money, well, then having all the knowledge and power and know-how doesn't help you when you're applying it to some behavioral change in your routine. So everything starts with what you believe and what you've experienced. Because remember, what you believe stems also from what you experienced. You've been through something, and that something you've been through has helped you concrete a belief you may have already had. or an experienced gave you a belief based on your experience, which then concreted into your mind because of multiple experiences. So beliefs and experiences go hand in hand and begin to create those systems for you. I'm not going to argue what came first, the belief or the experience, because it's nature, nurture, right? Why can't it be both? I don't know, something. Again, we'd be chasing the why. Remember, just answering why all the time doesn't always help. Because if you have why, well, now what? See, a lot of people talk about finding your why, right? They do. Now, what a lot of people confuse that with is, well, why do I act so bad? Why can't I put down drugs? See? And so if we start chasing the why and we're dealing with mental health, you can find yourself in a problem. Because now I start chasing, well, why am I sick? Why do I act this way? So let's answer it, right? So let's take somebody who has an AKA anger problem, which I really don't say you have an anger problem, you have a hurt problem. And their response to their why am I so angry, may be, well, I was abused as a kid, right? Or I've been through some shit, or I've been to jail, I've been to prison. They have all of these why. So if finding your why in your angry is, well, you were abused, you were abandoned, you were raped, all the bad shit in the fucking world's ever happened to you. Okay, now what? You see? So if you start just chasing the why from a mental health perspective, a lot of times you're left out the fucking dry. And that's a lot of beef that I had with therapy, to be honest. When I was in the clinics and practicing, it seemed that we needed to cultivate and talk about why it was happening, right? As if this was gonna solve anything. If I'm dealing with a mental issue, yeah, it can help. Trust me, knowing it, I'm not denying the fact that knowing where something is rooted and comes from can't be helpful, because that can. But just because you find the why doesn't mean it's okay. That's what I'm saying. So once you've got the why, you're kind of left going, okay, well, now what? Thank you. I've learned that, well, I've been through some shit in life. I was abused, or I was this, whoever it may be. You know, these are the things that have stemmed my anger problem or my hurt. Well, now that I've got all that, what do I do? You know, how do I move forward past that? And that's kind of what my book talks about, is I got tired of helping people find out why, but then being held back by state regulation and licensure of me being able to help them to go beyond why. See, because we're not allowed to give advice. This is one of the problems I had as a fucking therapist. And a lot of people think you give good advice, so you should go be a therapist. Well, one of the most unethical things to do as a therapist is they tell you not to give advice. You can't give advice, because if you do, you create a dependent relationship to where now your client depends on you for every choice, and they see that as holding a client for life, which can happen. But so can bringing somebody back to therapy continuously, week after week after week, after you dance around them, hoping they figure out on their own, and they do. And then now, guess what? They assimilate coming to therapy as being the reason that they've figured out their own life. Yes, it's great they build self-confidence that they did it. It took them 6 months longer when you knew what to tell them 4 months ago, right? And in the meantime, they lost their job, lost some other shift trying to figure it out, and you could have helped them with advice that you can't give. And they call it based on client dependency. But the same behavior happens. If I go to therapy and you help me and I figure some stuff out, because look, I'm a fan of therapy, don't get it twisted, I love it. But if I can't give direct advice, maybe even based on my perception, how do I really help? I can help in a long term. And then people do have great benefits of therapy. I'm a fan, don't get it twisted again. But at the end, if therapy worked for me, then that reward in itself has behaviorally told me that therapy is what gave me the healing. So is it already therapeutic dependence, just not therapist dependence? So if that's the case, then why not be able to investigate what the client's going through with them and help them weigh options, which therapists do, but also maybe even show direction? So I got tired of a lot of discovering why, because I found that why in mental health doesn't help that much, right? If it's biological, of course. If it's medical, of course. We got to know what's causing it. But a lot of times, what's causing the pain, what's causing the anxiety, what's causing the addiction, remember, those are symptoms, not the problem. Depression is just a symptom. It's not the problem. We find that the root of that is our own thinking and truly what we believe. And so just asking why to those things in mental health or what you experience in your head doesn't always help. sometimes it can leave you hanging with now what? Because you can spend years of your life chasing why and never figure out what's next. And that's what we're going to do in 2016 is move forward, be inspiring, and talk about what's next. What's next in your life? What's next for you? What's the next right choice in your life? Because look, life's going to unfold as it does. And you can make the next right choice or the wrong choice, the next inspired choice or the next pessimistic choice. You can choose to live in the hope of your own reality or choose to stay in the pessimistic view of reality. You choose that. That's the best part. You're writing your own story this year. You are not only the producer and the director, but you are the writer, and you're writing the script to your own movie, to your own life, with each choice that you make each day, starting today. Your choices shape that. And the best part about this movie and this story that you've lived to date, even the shitty part, all the best parts about this, you control how it ends. You control how this movie ends. You control the next scene of this movie. You control the next line of this movie. You are writing the script to it. This is your life. This is your book. This is your story. And you can tell a different one starting today, right now. You change that narrative to your life because that's what the Cognitive Rampage is about. It's about digging into your unauthentic life, ripping it the fuck out of you, implementing and cultivating and revealing your authentic self through daily doses of mind, body, and spiritual balance. Through spiritual and self-exploration, you can cultivate an enthusiasm, an authentic self. That's what we're doing in 2016. Thanks for listening to Cognitive Rampage. I'll see you guys a lot more. Hope you're taking care of you.
You never kiss to me. I stay surrendered to God's will. That's my boss. So you can talk your little mouth off, brother.